Well, welcome to the special edition of Canon Wired. Joe Rigney from Minneapolis, from Bethlehem Baptist. Bethlehem, what's the name of the
Bethlehem College and Seminary.
Bethlehem College and Seminary is here with us, and we've got a common interest in Jonathan Edwards. So we have a number of segments that we'd like to go over with you to talk about various aspects of Edwards' life and theology.
Yeah. So Jonathan Edwards is often considered America's greatest theologian. He's a Reformed theologian, and you weren't always Reformed. And so I'm wondering, did Edwards have any role to play in your coming to Reformed theology?
Yes, he most certainly did. Probably in the early 80s, I became Calvinistic in 88. And probably in the early 80s, I had read, I was a conservative evangelical, grew up in that setting, and I read Finney's lectures on revival, which appalled me. I just, you know, is this what we're doing?
Yes.
You know, and I'd grown up in a church where, you know, invitation at the end of every service. And so it was part of that tradition. And I thought, well, if this is revival, I don't want any. And sort of shelved that whole thing, walked away. Then somewhere in the mid-80s, I became post-millennial, which is a long story and kind of weird. But I was a conservative Arminian Baptistic evangelical who was post-mill. And that
a
was
mutt.
An absolute mutt. And people were saying there's no such thing as post-millennialist anymore. Well, there especially wasn't much of that kind.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, now I believe that the earth is going to be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then I thought, well, looking around, not at this rate it won't.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a cognitive dissonance between my post-millennialism and my view of what was happening to our culture. And so I thought, well, if this gets turned around and we start to have what I believe, now my eschatology now requires me to believe, theologians and historians and biographers would call whatever that was a great revival.
Huh.
You know, because there's no way to get from here to there without something big happening.
Right.
So I realized I was going to have to reopen my study of revival. And what and I recognized as a result of that study that it would have to be something like what Edwards had to do with. In other words, not a Finney-like revival.
Mm-hmm.
But so the kind of effect that my post-millennialism required, I concluded was a fruit that grew on one kind of tree.
Hmm.
And that was the tree of Reformed theology, Reformed preaching, the kind that Edwards, I would say Edwards is the quintessential representation of. And so I had begun to read Edwards, and I was somewhere around there I read Ian Murray's biography of Edwards and some of Edwards' stuff, the religious affections and stuff. I thought, okay, here's a sane, balanced guy. He's an advocate of the revival, but he's clothed and in his right mind, and he recognizes that
he's not burning his pants in the town square or anything like that,
right? And he recognizes the excesses of the revival.
Yep.
And this is a good, stable person. I want to be associated with that guy, and so that was my first introduction to Edwards directly.
So then let's talk maybe a bit about the revival. You have these sort of events, one starting in Northampton, his town, and he writes an account of it, and eventually it's published and it's sort of circulated all over the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to spark other things, and then George Whitefield lands and moves his way up and down the Atlantic coast, and everybody has to go hear Whitefield. And you're having all of these sorts of things, and with that, you have all sorts of people who begin to have very intense emotional experiences, falling over, the sort of thing that we associate nowadays with charismatic movement or Pentecostal movement.
Right.
And you got Edwards sort of in the middle of this, and he writes a number of different works on the revivals.
Right.
He writes, distinguishing marks of the work of the Spirit of God. He writes some thoughts concerning the revival, which is essentially a response to some critics. And then a few years later, writes Religious Affections. And as he writes them, though, you kind of see a maturing of his thought away from sort of just, yay, God, revival, to some discernment. What do you think, contrast, or help think about that a little bit, is that the way to think about revivals is that we need to kind of give some distance before we evaluate them.
Yes, or, and recognize that all of us live our lives in sequence. We don't learn everything all at once. It reminds me, Edwards' progress through the revivals reminds me of Martin Luther. And, you know, Martin Luther didn't have a fully formed Reformation theology when he posted his theses.
Right.
What happened is he did that, there was a response, there was a pushback from that, and Martin Luther sort of grew up, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like a bachelor getting married. You're not ready to get married. That's why you need to get married.
Right.
Right? You're not ready to lead a revival. That's why you need to have one.
Right.
So you can. So the revival bursts out. And his initial book that won him fame was all, you know, cheerleading. This is great. But then he's not a partisan. You know. So he's not treating the revival as though it were a political party or an agenda or a movement of his own.
Yep.
So that when excesses develop, he's able to identify them for what they are while remaining a friend of the revival. So if you took a later critic, someone like Charles Hodge or something,
right,
who's also sane and balanced and yep, who's able to say, this revival's good,
yep,
that one's not so good.
Yep. As
someone like Hodge, who's, you know, a critic of the revival, but balanced.
Yep.
And Edwards, who is a friend of the revivals, but balanced, a generation earlier. I think they'd get along great.
Huh.
You know, I think they would say, yeah, I don't think they would cross-check. I don't think Hodge would call an excess what Edwards would call good. I think they'd call call the same thing excesses, and they'd call the same thing sober and Christ-centered and godly.
Okay, very good.